children. Welcome to yet another episode of Electric Eye, where we're well rested this time around.
Yeah, no shit.
I am one of your co-hosts, Reverend Jim Esquire, and across from me is...
Got it!
And I think this week is his pretty much turn to yammer on while I'll sit back, relax, and ask questions.
Yee! So what we are going to be talking about is...
Donut holes in cheese dip?
Yeah. Who puts the holes in cheese in cheese nips? Well, it all starts with Jesus. No, basically, I'm going to give everybody here the rough draft, the crash course.
In plane flying?
No, that's not funny. Too soon.
Too soon. Playing the guitar?
No.
Making movies.
Kind of. No, it's going to be concert promotion. That's a very rough field to get into, the music industry. It's full of shady people who want nothing more to make money off of people who are more talented than they are.
Like you?
Like me. So, with no further ado... Sweet, I even got some music. First and foremost... we're going to talk about what you need to prepare. If you are just starting out and you don't have any experience, my advice to you would be get in a band, go on the road.
First, you need lessons in an instrument.
Not really. Not really at all. I had never took lessons in anything, and I've been on tours with... 4 or 5 bands, and these were tours up and down, all over the place.
You were a roadie.
Yeah. I said, get in a band. I didn't say play an instrument. I said, get in a band and go on tour. Now, that's when I first realized, hey, this is something I could do. Well, not really. I mean, before that, it was something I've always wanted to do. I did it at a very young age, at house parties and stuff like that. But the best way to get experience, honestly, get your ass, if you can play an instrument, correct? If you can play an instrument, get in a band. If you have friends that are in a band, become a roadie. Go on tour. Learn the ins and outs. Get the aspects of, like, you know, traveling in a van. What it's like to be in a car with a lot of people. Like, going a very long distance and getting paid very little. Figuring out how much, you know, you're supposed to be getting paid. How to budget yourself on the road. How to do this, that, and the other. And then you can get a good perspective of what the people that you are going to be promoting do. And that's the best way to get a grip on it. If you don't have that luxury, then I would start reading a lot of books. A lot of autobiographies about being on the road. There are actually a lot of them. And there's a lot of videos you can watch of bands, like, on tour. And you can kind of see how they are. Like, you know, not the ones in the buses, but the ones in the vans and the cars.
YouTube, folks.
YouTube, definitely. I didn't have YouTube when I was growing up, so that'd be a valuable tool. But basically, what you're going to want to do is, like, you're going to say, okay, what do I need? Well, the basics of concert promotion are, one, you need a place to play. You need a venue. Traditional venues, such as clubs, that's up to, like, dealing with club owners and, like, you can promote from the outside, but they're going to want a cut of the door. So you have to figure out, you know, what your front end and what your back end is. Like, you know, like, what are you going to pay the bands that you're going to promote and stuff like that. But we'll get into that later. The easier types of promotion are going to be, like, house shows. Like, if you have a house, or you have a house, especially with one with a basement, you're going to want to, like, do shows, you know, in your basement, far away from any personal objects. Don't let people in your house, like, up into the main part of the house. Keep them in the basement. Hopefully you have outside access to the bottom of the house.
That helps, folks.
That definitely helps. And don't let anybody use the bathroom there. No matter how bad they beg, don't let them use the bathroom.
Put a deadbolt on the door.
Yeah, they're just going to crap all over your, like, bathroom. So, you know, particularly what I'm talking about is rock shows. I mean, you may be into a number of different things, but the easiest one is rock shows. Two, you're going to need, besides a venue, you're going to need some kind of a PA system, a sound system. which consists of a microphone, you know, not per se like a condenser mic, but a studio microphone, but just a microphone, you know, for singing into.
Radio Shack $20 bucks.
Yeah. some kind of monitor so that the band can hear themselves over, like, crowd noise and or, you know, background noise, like themselves playing. They can hear what they sound like together. Some kind of speakers for getting the, you know, the high end. Some kind of bass speakers for getting the low end. They sell packages, you know, and these all come with, like, a mixing board. So you can, like, you know, you can half-ass your mixing and stuff like that at a house show so it sounds good for the house. The packages start anywhere from $200 to $1,000, and you can pick those up at any, like, good music store.
Now, does price matter?
Yes, price does matter, because the mixing boards on the lower price ones, they will blow out. They will blow out the first time you use them. If you got to watch what you're putting into them, because if your band is just like, we're going to play it, like, you know, our amps go to 11. Well, you're trying to put out sound for a basement that you shouldn't be putting out. Yeah, honestly, in a basement, you just need to, like, basically mic the maybe, like, the singer and the bass player, I'd say. And the guitar player can play through. If he's got a half stack or a full stack, he can play through that, and everybody will hear him fine. Honestly. Everybody else, I mean, it's a basement. How far can you possibly go away? You can play with a practice amp in a basement and be loud enough. But, you know, that's going to be your first step in doing shows and getting a feel for them, what to pay the bands. You know, pretty much if you're just doing shows, like the front end of the deal is going to be basically what you're going to be dealing with smaller shows. I'll pay you gas money and pizza and $10, you know, if they don't have to come very far. You know, our gas money, pizza, and $40. Here you go. A cut of the door. I'll give you, like, 10% of the door for coming to play. Because you're not a real venue. You don't have a lot of money. Yeah. And it's really like a crapshoot how many people actually are going to show up. Now, why am I talking about this tonight? Because it's something that I've been into since I was young. It's something that I've always liked the aspect of the music industry. I've always liked promoting my friends' bands. I've always liked putting on shows. And I've put on several successful shows and even a festival or two, you know. And it's no easy task. And beware, you know, you're not going to get to enjoy a whole lot of the show if you're running the show. So if you actually like going to shows more than you like working for shows, or making something happen, probably this isn't for you. But you have, like, the potential to make a crap load of money if you really know what you're doing. Now, once you get more experience and stuff like that, if this is something that you're really good at, and it's something that you like, and it's something that you're into, this is when you get into, like, basically, you're going to want to, like, go to, say, a club, like we talked about earlier. You're going to want to talk to the owner and say, hey, I've got an idea for a show. My, you know, my group, my collective, my whatever is going to sponsor this show. And you have to make an agreement with the owner of the club, basically, like, what his percentage of the door is going to be. He's probably going to typically give you, like, 85% will go to the band, 15% on the back end is going to go to the club and yourself. So you're not going to make a whole lot of money, but you will make enough to cover with ticket sales. And you have to figure out how you're going to do your tickets. Are they going to be point of sale? Are they going to be through Ticketmaster? Are they going to be through the band site or the club site? How are you going to sell tickets and stuff like that? Well, that all comes down to what kind of bands you're going to get, what kind of act you're going to get. You could get comedians, you could get rock people, you could get R&B. It all depends on the size of the club. Like, here in town, we have a 500-seat venue. And basically, you could look in, like, an industry trade magazine like Billboard. And it's going to tell you basically how much it costs to get somebody. And people range from $2,000 to $200,000, usually. That's a fair range of what talent costs to acquire. And basically the people that you need to talk to when you're acquiring talent, you talk to their agent, you talk to the band managers, you talk to their booking agents, you know, and you talk to even an entertainment lawyer every once in a great while. If they're starting out and they need a foot in the door and they know your club is a reputable place or the club where you're going to be held in the show is a reputable place, they're going to want to talk to you about it. They're going to ask you questions. What's the stage dimensions? What's the seating capacity? You know, what are some other shows that you've had there? How they went? You know, stuff like that. They need to know to get their band in the club, basically. Once you do that, you negotiate the deal. You say, how much? Is it going to be a flat fee? Is it going to be based on ticket sales? Are they going to get a percentage of the door? Are there any pluses? Like, are they going to get a percentage of the door and something else? You know, are they going to get $2,000 up front and then 80%? You know, that's sometimes they ask for that, and that's what's called a guarantee. And they ask for money before. Day of the show, you're going to want to have an itinerary. And this is for bigger bands. You're going to want to have an itinerary. You're going to want to have the money ready if they actually are charging you. You're going to want to, you know, get with them in the morning, see if they need a rehearsal time, yada, yada, yada. You know, start getting security together, get everybody in the show, make sure the lights, the sound, everything is on, make sure that works, make sure the show goes off without a hitch, you know, all that stuff. And for God's sakes, people, if you're going to do this, put money into flyering and putting it into paper. The newspapers, magazines, you know, billboards, anything you can get to get people in the door, not to overcapacity, but enough to, like, you know, if you got a place that seats 2,000.
What about radio?
You definitely want to advertise on the radio. Absolutely. And TV if you can. Most local markets have you could do a 30-second spot for a pretty good amount of money if you have to. But that's only if you have a really good place and you want to make sure that people are going to come. 9 times out of 10, when you're first starting out, you're not really going to start doing stadium shows or, like, you know, arena shows. You're probably going to do, like, small clubs, anywhere from the 200 capacity to the 2,500 capacity.
So now, mind you, I don't mean to interrupt, but you have bands like Tool that go by a different name. Like, I think my other friend, whose also name is Chris, he was telling me that
A Tool, Perfect Circle.
Yeah.
That's not the same band, same singer.
They also went known as Peach at one point. Hmm. And they would play smaller venues.
They play secret clubs. Shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's been an old industry standard for a very long time. A lot of bands will do that if they haven't played in a while and they want to refamiliarize themselves with an audience.
Or test new material.
Test new materials, stuff like that, see if it goes over well. Or if they just want to go out and have some fun and play. A lot of bands will do secret shows. Notorious for, like, you know, doing that is a band called AFI. They used to play as, like, Misfits cover bands. And then, like, you know, everybody realized, oh, that's AFI. So, yeah, that whole aspect is awesome. Like, you know, the secret shows thing. Those are easy to set up. Especially, you can get a hell of a discount on a band if nobody knows who they are. Like, if they're actually, like, a high-profile band, you can say, you know, everything but who they are. And, of course, you won't have to pay them as much. But concert promotion is one of those industries where they don't teach it to you anywhere. There's no degree in it. You can get a degree in, basically, like, music industry stuff. You can get a degree in, like, you know,
sound editing
and all that stuff. Production. But they don't have a degree for this. This is basically experience only. It's a relatively young profession. I mean, it only started in the 1960s. So at best, it's what, 48 years old? As far as, like, you know, how concert promotion and stuff like that is going, like modern concert promotion, you know, I guess even back in the 40s they had to put on a show somewhere, but usually it was up to the club owners. Like, this is like, you know, your touring and promotion and stuff like that, that whole thing. Actually putting together tour dates and, like, calling people and stuff like that in relevance to that. So it's a pretty young industry. And even on the smaller levels, that's where the fun is. Like, when we used to put on shows when I was younger, we would do them at coffee houses, house shows, impromptu. Like, we'd be out on the street and be like, hey, guys, you want to get some acoustic guitars? We'll all get together and play. All right, yeah, tell everybody in the neighborhood we're going to do this. You know, we'll put up a little flyer this morning, and then by this afternoon, boom, you got a show. We've set up shows in less than 12 hours before. We've done them at laundromats. We've done them at, like, you know, pool halls. We did them at restaurants, like in their back area and stuff like that. You know, you can pretty much set up a show anywhere and have a really good time. And basically, it's just a chance for people to get together, because people love live entertainment. Live entertainment, you can't beat live entertainment. Like, you can't duplicate it on a record. You can't, like, you know, I mean, you can burn a copy of a video of a show or whatever, but you can't beat the experience of being there and actually participating. And, like, if you love a band, singing along at a show and stuff like that, and that's the aspect that I like. That's the aspect that gets me into it, and that's why I love doing it. And I offer this, you know, a crash course. Now, people can email me at eecf25428@comcast.net or electriceye.podcast@hotmail.com if they want to get a more insider's look or a better perspective of how to do this. But basically, you know, the tools I offer here is for anybody who's not sure. Hey, can I get into this? Yes, you can. It's fairly simple.
Now, is it... I know for a fact there are some industries, like, I won't say the horse industry, but like the horse grooming industry. I was told when I was living in Ocala, Florida, which is horse country, like Winchester area is apple country. Mm-hmm. Ocala is primarily horse country. It's mm-hmm. one of the many horse countries that are areas that are out there, that if you wish to go into, like, horse grooming, it's a very lucrative business that... There's no real training, but if you want to get into it, you have to know a guy who know a guy who actually is a groomer.
Yeah.
In order to at least learn. Now, is this more of an open
type Absolutely. Of deal? If you get into it where you live, you could live in the middle of Iowa, cornfields, right? And you got a barn, you got a venue. If you have the means to get together sound equipment and you set it up, you can post it up. Billy the Farmer is going to have, like, a show on the weekend. He's going to bring in a lot of people. Like, you know, he's having a couple bands come play that are local. You know, people are going to come out, you know, and you can be successful anywhere with concert promotion. And it doesn't have to be a sold out club. And it's not like you have to know people. It helps. Trust me, it helps. And as you get older with it,
now,
you network. Your network gets bigger. And, of course, you start getting more people.
On the thing with, like, word of mouth, do you think that nowadays with the, I won't say the advent, but with the, you could say the advent or the use of the internet as a tool, like with MySpace, Facebook, mm-hmm. do you think, not to mention getting equipment, word of mouth out, and everything else, is a little bit more easier than it was in the...
Oh, 100% easier. Oh, it's absolutely 110% easier.
Because I'm sure you could get equipment of all price yeah. ranges easier, even if you live down, in, like, butthole of Iowa or
It cuts down Kansas. On flyering. It cuts down on, like, point of ticket sales. Like, see, the problem with before with ticket sales is you had to go to the box office to get them. If you weren't from there, you had to get them the day of the show, which people weren't sure. You get there and it'd be sold out. Well, with the advent of like online ticketing, you now can buy advance tickets as far ahead of like almost a year sometimes of an event and show up there with your tickets. Either you got them by mail or you can even print them out now. And they'll scan them. Scan them at the show.
Especially with equipment, you could live in. I'm sure that in most cases, if you needed equipment, you had to go to a major metropolitan city in order to get the equipment that you needed. Now I'm sure you could just go into audioequipment.com per se and order it that way and have it UPS'd or FedEx to your home.
To your residence or wherever you need to have it. I offer this to people because you should be doing shows in your basements. You should be having like bands coming around, like local bands doing shows and stuff like that. It's one of those things that can help you out. Like, if you need extra money around the house, it's kind of like the old idea of a rent party. You have a rent party, you have a band, that'll even get you into it. If it's just something, if you're interested in the music industry, if you've been in vans with bands and slept in the cold and drove it like, drove 3,000 miles with somebody before and that's your thing, then you will love concert promotion because then you get it. You understand what it's like. And it's definitely, there's nothing like it.
It's, I'm sure that it's one of those professions that you could do flyers in reference to the old ransom note style and you'll still get people going, what an ingenious idea and bringing people.
You can even, like flyers, I still say word of mouth and flyers are the best way to get people into shows. I mean, concert, like there's actually a whole like cottage industry too, like poster art for like concerts and stuff. There's a guy who makes a living off of doing like he does, there are these lithographs.
Yeah.
It's for promoting concerts. And they're gorgeous. And people have them framed as artwork in their home now. And stuff like that. So, I mean, there's lots of aspects to like concerting. There's lots of aspects to like concert promotion. People just wonder why I would do a show like this. It's because, it's something I'm into. It's part of my geek. And, it's just something I happen to have, a little bit of experience in.
So. And mind you, folks, if you do go to a concert, do not tear down their posters and all that.
Not until after the show.
Not until after the show, and I guess it depends on band to band, whether or not the poster that you might be swiping, it might be, depending on the band, if it says, we're the cute fuzzy bunny band, If it's that type of poster, please do not take that poster. They might need it for the next gig. unless they say, take the poster, or they might be selling back. What you mentioned, back end. What is back end?
Well, back end?
Yeah.
Well, there's two aspects of paying people. There's front end, which is most common.
Tickets.
It's negotiable. It's you talk to the band manager, you talk to the booking agent, you talk to the people like that.
Yeah.
You say, up front, we're going to pay you. We got a 2,000 capacity seating place. We're going to pay you $40,000, okay, with a $3,000 guarantee, okay? So it means we're going to send you $3,000 as a deposit, and you'll get the other $37,000 when you get to the venue. That's a front-end deal. Back-end deal. A back-end deal is basically where you go, okay, we have a 2,000 capacity venue. We are expecting X amount of people to come to the show. We're going to sell tickets at the door. We'll give you $4,000 up front and 80%, 80 to 85. 85 is traditional what you give them. $4,000 up front, 85% of the door you know, what people pay to get in, and we will keep 15% for ourselves. That's how it works. Basically, a front-end deal is money flat out. You're going to pay them X amount of dollars, no matter how much the seating capacity could possibly be. You could sell the tickets for $100 a piece. Say you got the Eagles coming, okay? $100 tickets. You got, how many seats would you have in that place? Let's just say you'd have like a 5,000 seating capacity place. Sell the tickets for $100 a piece. If their guarantee is only $100,000, you know, you get to keep the rest. And that's a front-end deal. In a back-end deal, they would get more money with negotiation. They would probably want $100,000 or less, probably $80,000 flat out as a guarantee, and then probably like 85% of the door to 55% of the door, you know, if you're charging $100 for seats. You still make a lot of money, but the front-end deal is better for you as a promoter.
And for the fans out there, if you could find, I know another guy I knew at work, when I was working for Kohl's, he went to Aspen for a little while. Mm-hmm. And he spotted a secret show there. Mm-hmm. And folks, if you could spot a secret show and they're selling goods, mm-hmm. dude, you got yourselves a very good collector's item right then and there. Mm-hmm. Especially if you get the band to sign it. Mm-hmm. Well, looks like we're... You got anything else?
No, I think I'm pretty good. Just if you got any questions, you know, to email me at eecf25428@comcast.net or at electriceye.podcast@hotmail.com.
And folks, if use those email addresses as well to tell us what your geek is. If you have any topics for that you would like us to take into consideration for a future podcast, let us know. We'll read your emails on air as always. Don't forget, folks, we still have the contest continuing for the 10th 4-star or higher rating on iTunes. And we have loads of other prizes waiting for other contests and loads of other giveaways. We do have a MySpace page at myspace.com/TheElectricEye Podcast. Look for an announcement in reference to a forums coming soon on reference to MySpace.
Ooh.
Ooh. So.
All right, that's going to conclude our broadcast day.
Peace out.
Yeah. What?
Can I help you?
Can I get some Soundgarden tickets, please?
Yes.